All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the Valentine's Day edition, episode number 46.
Done, fag.
Why you always got to go there?
I don't know.
Why? Because I'm emotional?
I thought...
Because I'm in touch with myself and I can talk about love.
If you're
going
to do that, please do it outside of the studio. This is a professional recording environment
you are on
here.
Fire, aren't you? Woo! Episode 46... Featuring once again this week, Adrian Forner. Or as we
howdy,
like
to, y'all.
Or as we like to call him, Adrian Faulkner from action-figure.com.
How are you, Kev?
I'm well. I'm
my feet hurt.
I'm okay. Well,
I've been walking around at Toy Fair and I ache.
My heart hurts. My heart hurts after
Matt rejected you again?
Well, if only.
I've never accepted
him. He just keeps coming and coming.
I know, I show up every week.
And that too. My heart aches, Adrian.
Why does your heart ache?
Because in this time of love, in this Valentine's Day... Love is in the air. You know, it's always several days before and several days after. Everyone's preparing for Valentine's Day, and the love is usually flowing. And I didn't get love from a few people.
Oh, that's very sad.
At Toy Fair. And Matt didn't get love either.
No, we were rejected.
We were.
The black sheep.
Our advances were rejected. And you know what I mean.
And we should leave it at that.
We're actually gonna address that topic next week.
Uh-huh. We're being respectful.
Because we're gonna talk only about good and loving things today.
Yes.
So
focus on the positive.
That's what we're going to do. And we're gonna have a very positive interview with George Brewer from DC Direct coming up in the middle of the show today. After that, we're gonna talk about all of the things that we saw at Toy Fair that we loved. Now, this is not to be confused with our top 10 list, which we'll present next week.
Correct.
This is just a general broad overview, a couple of things that really were like, wow.
Okay. You know?
And I don't mean World of Warcraft.
Right. Although.
Although, I mean, for some people, yes.
Right.
But for others, no.
You know, I know you want to dedicate this episode to such happy things and love and things we're so excited about, but... Our news tonight is not so much that stuff.
Uh-oh.
So let's get right off. Let's go right with Fantastic Four 2. Some information regarding Galactus.
Uh-oh.
Galactus not actually going to physically appear in the film.
Told you.
No, you didn't tell me.
I certainly did.
I don't think so. I know we've debated this back and forth a couple times, but...
Fantastic will back me up. I've said it all along.
I seem to remember the episode where we discussed Galactus as being a
force
presence
of nature.
And a force of nature. Mm-hmm. I thought we had discussed he was going to be in there in some way, shape, or form. We would see part of him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be wrong, but apparently not so much.
Well, what's being said?
There was an interview done with the real Mr. Fantastic, the actor's name, whom I cannot pronounce. And
Ian Gufford.
That guy.
Well, wait, there's a Brit here.
Sorry?
The guy that played Mr. Fantastic in the movie.
Ian Gufford?
Is that his name?
I don't know. Is he British?
Yes.
Well, we've never seen
him. Well, you certainly are bringing a lot to the show tonight.
Well, there you go. I like to contribute.
Yeah. Well, apparently in an interview he did, he says point blank that he does not appear in a physical form in the film. So he really is just a presence in the film.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's good or if that's bad. I kind of have mixed feelings about it.
I think it sucks.
See, my initial reaction was this sucks because I kind of want to see him. But then I started thinking about if they put him in there, the chances of him looking like complete and total shit are really, really good. Mm. So maybe by removing him from the film and actually just making him this presence and just making him like you kind of know he's there and you feel his effect on the characters and the plot line and the storyline, and it would be better than actually showing him in the film.
Yeah, because they'd probably make him about 3 foot tall, wouldn't they, if they put him in there?
And, you know, hot pink and purple. Mm.
That would be awesome.
No, it certainly would not. So maybe it's better that he's not in the film. So maybe that's a love-hate thing. Kind of works in there, sort of.
I love the fact that I'm probably going to hate that film.
Yes. You probably are going to hate that film, even though we loved the trailer.
Adrian has a piece of news.
I do indeed.
Ooh!
Out in Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. in it's either Slovenia or Bosnia, but I mean, you probably won't know where those are anyway. But so
somewhere in the former Soviet Union.
No, it's not in the Soviet
Union.
It's
right up the coast of California, right?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's near Mexico.
They owned everything yeah. over there.
There's a village.
Those Ovakias or the
there's
Olivias
loads of them.
Or...
And then what happens is they have a civil war and create three more ones. But out there, there's this village, and it's had very, very bad luck.
Okay.
It's had famines, the crops have failed, there's been floods, and the villagers have decided that the village is kind of cursed.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, if that happens to your town, you want to create some inspiration for the people to raise their morale.
Sure.
So they decide they'd erect a statue in the city, in the village, to try and inspire.
So a monument to someone they highly respect
yeah.
or someone that would bring
somebody,
you know,
inspirational.
Joy. Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, who would you think would sort of, you know, who would you choose if you had that choice?
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln?
Sure.
Yeah.
Leader,
I mean,
of the... No. yeah, sure. No, I don't know. Maybe
who's kind of
maybe a deity or
who's kind of a Slovakian Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a Slovakian Abraham Lincoln?
Well, know. Apparently so.
Okay,
in the form of Rocky.
Rocky Balboa. Rocky
Balboa.
Nice.
Apparently, you know the statue from the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. You know where it's in Philadelphia.
Right.
They want to create that. They want to put that in their village to inspire people.
That statue is being reproduced by Sideshow this year.
It is indeed.
And it's in scale with the Jax figures.
Yeah, I told the guys at Sideshow, I thought they could maybe get a bit of business out in Slovakia.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Getting, like, personal ones for their homes?
Well, yeah, probably, yeah.
Like a mezuzah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Like a mezuzah.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so if any companies are listening and they're producing, they've got the Rocky license, I think you expect really big sales in Eastern Europe this year.
Any company with
a
license. Any two of them.
Yeah.
Wow, that really is silly.
Well, silly. That's Eastern Europe for
But
you.
Hey, if...
those crazy Europeans. They all talk funny.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So apparently the Wolfman movie remake that we've talked about a couple times, the one that's going to be starring Benicio del Toro in the lead role, finally has a director behind it. Mark Romanek, who did One Hour Photo. He's did a bunch of music videos, although I couldn't tell you which ones off the top of my head. But
well, One Hour Photo was very pretty.
It was very pretty. A bit obscure. So I don't know how that works into The Wolfman, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Interesting.
I don't know how I feel about Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, that one
kind of
bugs me too.
I mean, he kind of looks like a wolf man, maybe. You know, if you take him like from Usual Suspects, I can kind of see it.
But
as long as it's not that awful Jack Nicholson wolf movie being remade.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, what, the one with Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Oh,
called
yeah.
Wolf.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that's a werewolf.
That's not good.
Best forgotten that one.
Yes. Disney is trying to make a big comeback now that it's back in bed with Pixar. Specifically, they're working on a Toy Story 3 film, which we all knew eventually was going to happen as soon as them and Pixar mended ways.
Right.
It looks like they've gotten the gentleman who was the scribe behind Little Miss Sunshine, Michael Arndt, to work on the...
Arndt?
Is that how you pronounce it? A-R-N-D-T?
Okay.
Okay. To work on the script for the film.
I aren't quite sure.
That's right. I aren't quite sure either, but that's how I'm pronouncing it. So they're working on that. In addition, they've got a new 2D project they're working on, The Frog Princess. And in sad news, they've got a live-action Sorcerer's Apprentice project that they're working on with potentially Nick Cage playing the role of the sorcerer.
Wow.
Yeah, that one's going to take place apparently in modern-day New York and is going to be awful, would be my guess.
Nick Cage. Does his head kind of burst into flames?
I can only hope so.
It does, and it was all like...
right there, I knew that Ghost Rider movie was going to blow chimps.
Hey, that opens 2 days from now, doesn't
Actually, it opened 3 days ago, according to the time schedule of this show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, by the time this is aired, it'll be 3 days
You mean this
ago.
Isn't live?
Yes, live and direct.
Yeah.
And speaking of direct to DVD, Jaws 5 and Deep Blue Sea 2.
Oh, yeah, I heard about these.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jaws 5 apparently going to erase, or at least one of the rumors is, it's going to erase what took place in Jaws 3 and 4 and pick up right after Jaws 2.
Wait, so Roy Scheider's going to be in it?
Well, Roy Scheider is apparently not too keen on doing anything involving the Jaws franchise at all. So how that's going to work,
but what has he God done only recently? Knows. Has he been in anything recently?
You don't really question the caliber of Roy Scheider. And,
well, you know, if you haven't been working for a while, I mean, you know, you get a bit desperate.
Didn't you see 2010?
No.
That was a while ago anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mr. Fantastic, can you look up Roy Scheider on the Internet Movie Database and tell us what he's done lately? If you're not too busy.
And while you're doing that, I could tell you that the only thing that you may actually recognize when Jaws 5 comes direct to DVD would be the iconic score by none other John Williams. So I guess they still have the rights to use the score for the film.
Is there a director for that flick?
Not that I know of as yet, or not that I've read as yet. So.
Will it be the same shark? Or like getting a new somebody different?
Bruce? I don't know. Is Bruce still floating
CGI.
Around somewhere? Yeah,
yeah.
My guess would be it'll be CGI at this point. Or it'll be part CGI, part mechanical.
Part puppet.
Part, yuck.
Like the Hulk.
Hand
exactly.
puppet.
In addition, it looks like they're going to be doing a Spies Like Us remake. I think also potentially direct to DVD.
Wow, you really were right. The news just blows.
Just awful, isn't it?
Spies Like Us?
I know. I liked Spies Like Us.
What,
don't get
Ishtar
me wrong.
2 wasn't available to happen?
Spies Like Us was filmed near me, where I live in England.
No, I heard that. I heard that all the Ishtar rights right now are tied up in Minimates.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What, apart from Rain Man, the world's first autistic action figure?
Wow, you know, if they go with that angle, that
well,
could
you know,
increase sales.
I'd actually buy one.
Well, you know,
should,
why can't autistic? Hey, why can't you have autistic
I
action
think
figures?
You
know,
I think
equal rights for everybody.
Dude, you really should cut it out because this is the year of the Minimate.
It is the year of the Minimate.
That's
I was convinced.
That's what I heard.
Did they tell you that?
Oh,
I never
least,
heard that.
At least 10 times.
You know what? I was told that that's the word on the street, apparently. It's the year of the Minimate.
Right. You're so. More likely to see Silence of the Lambs Minimate figures than you are of Serenity action figures. Like
I'm
good
still
ones.
Impressed with Desperately Seeking Susan Minimate figures. So, ew.
I really like, you know what's the best part about those, is though we're getting off topic a little bit, the posters.
The poster work.
For those mini
mates. The poster work was fantastic.
The platoon one
the platoon
is awesome.
One, yeah. I have it's to awesome. Have it. It
but,
was so
but
good.
You do have to wonder whether MGM was kind of having a sale at that time. You know, take all these properties. We'll pay you.
Flip through the book. Take it. No, I don't want that one. Take it.
Transfer complete.
Well, he was recently in The Punisher in 2004. He played Frank Castle Sr.
Oh,
and
God.
And it looks like after that we have Dracula 3 Legacy, If I Didn't Care, Last Chance, and currently in post-production he has three movies, The Poet, Dark Honeymoon, and Winter Sea.
He'll do Jaws 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll take movies I've never heard of, Alex.
You've heard of The Punisher.
I have heard of The Punisher.
Okay, so that's one in what? Seven movies.
Woohoo for him.
2004.
Jaws, that's right, 2000.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Jaws so. 5, looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Looking pretty shiny at this point. The last bit of thing that I have for tonight would be Metal Gear Solid. Apparently, they're working on doing a film version of that. Metal Gear Solid, obviously, being very popular video game franchise. I know Mr. Fantastic knows a little bit more about this than I do. Fantastic, care to comment or chime in?
Well,
not so much.
What happened?
He's feeling a little under the weather.
Fantastic.
Tonight.
I hate Metal Gear Solid.
Okay.
I thought the game was a movie in itself.
Right.
To be watched and not to be played. That's all. Thank you.
Wow, harsh.
He's very, very.
He's obviously not a PlayStation fan.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, look, if he says it, I believe it. He is the video game guy.
I played one of them. I don't remember which one it was. And
I played number two.
I don't think it was one.
I
remember
there.
It was the one they made the action figures from. Was that two?
Two, I think.
That McFarlane made the action figures from was two, right?
I think so.
Well, I played that one, and I had a good time generally, but it wasn't something I ever felt I wanted to play again. It's kind of like, okay, I did that, now I can move on.
But it's got a big fan following.
It does. It has a huge fan following.
I mean, Medicom had a figure on display, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
The toy fair.
Imported by Sideshow, yeah?
Yeah.
So, what else do you have, Matt?
I actually have two little updates. While we're talking about video games, I'd like to just throw out there that I finally did get a Wii. So now I have one.
Yay!
Exactly. It was joyous elation at now possessing a Wii.
And what games are you playing?
I actually didn't purchase any games right off the bat, although I've been playing Wii Sports.
That's okay. It comes with Wii Sports.
It does. Yeah. And actually, I want to pick up Wii Play, too, which looks pretty good. But I actually...
That comes with a controller.
With the controller, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, I saw that today in Best Buy.
Yeah. We've been playing a bunch of... me and my wife have been playing a bunch of virtual console games. Mario World, Super Mario, and I think I'm going to go home tonight and download the original Zelda.
What controller do you play with? Are you playing with the remote turned sideways?
For regular Super Mario, the remote turned sideways. And for Mario World, we've been using a GameCube controller because I had a GameCube prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I need to pick up a classic because I think it would make it a lot easier.
You also have the option to use some old GameCube games on there, and you can go to, you know, EB Games or GameStop or wherever and get, like, for $5 some pretty good games.
I've got a bunch of games in my GameCube library from, because, like I said, I had the system, so I could use
Mario!
Those. But I really do. Yeah.
Mario!
I do want to download the original Zelda, too, and take a crack at that.
I'd recommend the new Zelda as well. That's a really good game, and it makes use of the Wii controller.
Well, I have that coming to me probably in the next handful of days. Someone's going to give me a copy of it to play with. So.
Well, welcome to the club.
Thank you.
Now you need an Xbox 360.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, slow down. Exactly. If you want to step up into a real system and not that ridiculous one.
And whatever your opinion is, but one.
Did you make a Wii person yet?
A me.
I made a me.
A me? Is that what it's called?
I did. I made a me.
You made a me?
Uh-huh. I had to make a me.
See, now, here's where the complaints start for me. Because you made a me, and I made a me, and we want to send messages and exchange me's and all that shit, right? But how do we do it? You go into yours, you tool around in the menu for a while, you find your number, your Wii number.
Right,
I don't
my
know
console number.
Your console number. Yeah. I find mine, then outside of the game... We exchange through email, text message. I tell it to you, and you write it down.
Right.
Whatever. Then we have to go to each the control their consoles,
right,
and key it into the console. Only then can we communicate online. Now this is this is a measure to protect children from online predators and blah blah blah. But what is it for people who are, you know, 16 and above, other than a pain in the ass?
But Mr. Fantastic, that is why Xbox Live is so brilliant.
Well,
of which Mr. Fantastic is a proud member and full supporter.
Well, I have two things to say about that, actually, about the Xbox Live business. Wii Online launches next month, I believe. It's sometime in March. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading some things, and there's still some speculation as to how that's going to work. It may not be linked to your Wii console number. It may be similar to other online gaming things that we've seen, where you can go into a game and there'll be a lobby where you wait until you can join a game or you can find partners to play and stuff like that. So you can arrange games. But back to what you were saying about people over 16, yada, yada, yada. I think the assumption is that we're so laden down with technology at this point in our lives that we have so many forms of communication that it's really not that much of a pain in the ass. Like, for example, I got my console number. I sent out a text message to like 7 people at once with my console number. And within 5 minutes, I got a handful of responses and were able to put them all in. It really wasn't that big of a pain in the ass. Not to mention if you're sitting in your living room, or if you have a gaming room or an office, something like that. Presumably you have a PC or a laptop there and you've got AIM running in the background, or Gmail chat or Yahoo Messenger or one of those. You know, I mean, I think the assumption is that you're so readily communicating with people that you would be interested in sharing these and whatever other things you would be doing with the Wii, that it's not that big of a problem.
You know, and I agree, but I really think it's still an archaic way to kind of do things. And if you've been reading things recently, the Wii, mm-hmm. according to Reggie Fils-Aime, or whoever you pronounce this guy's another name that we can't pronounce.
Right.
He says that the Wii will soon surpass the 360 in terms of installed base.
Okay.
And even if it does, one of the largest things that it's going to have to overcome is the fact that the Xbox 360 has been around, or Xbox Live has been around on the Xbox One and now the Xbox 360, so it's had all this time
sure.
to have that online service mature.
Sure.
And it's really one of the things that's a driving factor in terms of purchases and playing games and things like that. I mean, the reason why you can buy 5 games is because those 5 games will all have different online components that you can play with your friends. And I think that Nintendo has a mountain to climb in front of them trying to get to that spot, being then, where they are now.
But then at the same time, I think Sony have got that problem as well.
Oh, yeah.
No. You know?
And, their shit doesn't work.
What is that? What do you mean?
A lot of problems with the PlayStation 3, I keep hearing.
Well, no, go ahead.
Yeah, they've had some problems with like the video output on playing PlayStation 2 games on the PlayStation 3. I don't know if you guys saw any comparison screens, but there's some issues with like really bad jaggies, which they've actually fixed in a recent firmware upgrade, but kind of didn't say anything about it. And suddenly it happened. You install one, you turn on your PlayStation right. 3 one day, and you get this download. Doesn't say what it's for, and then
poof,
it looks a little better, is the only thing that you can tell.
I actually hear that they're having problems with the Blu-ray player itself. It's having problems playing Blu-ray discs. The quality isn't up to snuff. The picture isn't that great.
There are some Blu-ray discs that won't even play on it. Yeah.
They're having a lot of problems, the PS3.
Yeah, they're in a rough spot right now. I think they kind of, you know, they thought that they could take the easy way out and ride on the coattails of the PlayStation 2 because it was such a phenomenal success
right.
here and in Asia and, you know, all over the world. They had so many good games for it. It's just now that they have this incredible piece of hardware,
right.
they've kind of put a bad taste in everybody's mouth coming out at such a price point. And, you know, the story is that, you know, people died for the PlayStation 3, but nobody died for a Wii.
Right.
And that's something that they're going to have to shake going forward if they're ever going to regain that footing in the industry.
I think the future for the games industry, though, is on online connectivity. You know, and that's the one thing that the 360 has, that Microsoft have put a lot of effort into it, and they make it very, very easy to connect. I mean, when me and my friends all got our Wiis, I mean, we looked at it and we were like, well, this isn't as simple as it is with the Xbox 360.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I think that certainly Microsoft probably has a little bit of experience prior to the 360 with some of that software and how it works and how it should work. But I think really that the Wii is looking for a different target. And I don't necessarily know that it's in direct competition to the 360 so much as maybe it's just a companion for a gamer. I mean, I think even Xbox and PS and PlayStation, Sony, had come out and said, you know, go out and get a 360, go out and get a PlayStation, but you should pick up a Wii also because yeah. it really is has some nice features and is a nice
Wii
console.
Is a party console. I mean, the best fun is when you get several of your friends around and you're playing, you know, Wii Sports. I mean, we've done that and nearly destroyed lampshades and everything. Destroyed a living room.
Can we just stop saying the word Wii?
You can make some really good double entendres. Myself and some friends, we'd gone out for a meal. We all got together the weekend that it came out. And we called it the weekend because we thought it was really funny at the time. And
I called it Wee-tarded.
Wee-tarded, yeah. But we went out for a meal to have
Ridiculous.
A break. And, you know, when you start making comments in public about playing with your Wii, you know, you get some very funny looks.
Well, I'm happy to finally have one. I'm going to be interested to see how they treat it. And we'll go from there. I do have one more quick thing. We did get our first submission from a fan for the Action Figure Chop Shop.
We did?
If you could pick one fan that listens to this show and is dedicated to our show, who would it be?
But that episode just went up today.
I know.
What did he say?
Dragonlance.
The movie? The D&D thing.
Yeah.
Dragonlance.
Very broad base of characters, fantasy base, so there's some sort of market there, even if you're not a Dragonlance fan. Could be very interesting. And there's plenty of stuff out there that you could probably build off of, too, as far as customization is concerned.
Well, there you go. We have our first one in the suggestion box. If you have a suggestion for Big Kev's Action Figure Chop Shop, where we're going to have the figures that we've always wanted to have made, done by a group of incredible artists. You can pop on over to the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and get on the forums over there or drop us an email.
Yep. I think actually Starman started the thread for us too, so it is up on the forums with his suggestion of Dragonlance.
Yes, Starman.
Yep.
A true fan. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Hey there, this is David Wenham from Lord of the Rings and 300, and you're very fortunate because you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Enjoy.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. There's many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough for you. Just not enough. Oh, oh, man. Oh, man.
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Hello?
George Brewer.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you? You are on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I'm always looking forward to talking to you.
We have talked about having you on the show for quite some time. As you know, myself and Matt are very big fans of DC Direct and the work you're doing over there.
I appreciate it. You know, you've always said good things about us. You've been a good supporter, so we appreciate it.
You're here with me, obviously, tonight, Big Kev. Matt is here also, and we have a very special guest in studio tonight who you might know, one Adrian Faulkner.
Hi, George.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm doing okay. It's a little cold and snowy here, but otherwise we're all right.
I'm glad you survived your trip home. I was getting a little worried.
Yeah, it was quite the adventure, I will say that.
Let's get right into it. I can tell by your voice that Toy Fair is now over.
And it is a wonderful thing. We had a great time. I mean, the turnout this year was just phenomenal, despite the weather and despite some of the odd things that are going on with sort of the toy industry and toy fair in general. It's kind of been in flux for a few years. But between the DC Unlimited and the new DC Direct offerings we've had this year, we had a great turnout, both press, you know, retailers, distributors, and just general fans. So it was a lot of fun. Exhausting, but fun.
Let's get right into the topic of DC Unlimited, shall we?
Okay.
So this is now your new brand where you're going to be producing products for licenses outside of the what I guess we would refer to as the DC Comics realm.
That's correct. It was an interesting opportunity as we saw as DC Direct continued to grow and we were building up both our creative strengths, our marketing strengths, our sales strengths. We really saw that there was an opportunity to go beyond what we could with DC Direct in terms of reaching a wider consumer base. Because ultimately, DC Direct is a sort of comic shop specialty business. It's not a mass business. And DC Unlimited gave us the opportunity to sort of signal to the retailers and the consumers that, hey, you know, we're in a different game. We're doing something different. Bringing these skills, these creative sort of muscles that we have to other people's sandbox. And we get to play with their toys, which is a lot of fun for me.
That's great. And we saw I guess the first two licenses that you're going to be putting out over there, which is World of Warcraft is one of them.
Yeah, World of Warcraft was just an amazing opportunity. We started talking to those guys about a year ago. And, you know, many of us, Jim Fletcher especially, my senior art director on DC Direct, was a huge fan of the game, has played it for years. And it shares sort of a similar sensibility to the DCU in that, you know, it's this wide, expansive universe, very deep in its mythology, very deep in its characters, and it had some really incredibly cool designs of characters.
Right.
And as a first place to start for us, we thought, what better place to start than with a, you know, massively multiplayer game that had 8 million subscribers all over the world? You know, if you're going to go out of the blocks, you might as well come out fast, you know? And it's been a real challenge for us because, you know, the game, the action, the figures themselves are highly, highly detailed, highly, you know, decoed and colored operations and just all these little gewgaws and such. And they're just really cool things to look at. Even if you're not a fan of the game, I think you'd like the toys because they're just so cool. I mean, I think I saw you drooling in that room, you know, when you were there earlier. So,
well, I mean, I tried to keep it neat, George, but I don't want to say, I don't think drooling is quite accurate. Perhaps there was a...
Right, well, okay.
Well, I was drooling.
Adrian was drooling, yeah. So...
I want a dwarf hunter. So
yeah,
that's what I've got in the game. So
right.
Okay. Well, you know, and that's the beauty of the line is, you know, we have a multi-year commitment with Blizzard Entertainment, which is the, you know, the parent company that owns World of Warcraft, and we're really committed to, you know, basically representing all the different races and all the different classes within each of the races, and the possibilities are limitless. So it's a lot of fun. It's still challenge sort of creatively to execute on something that's that different from what we do all day. But we put a team of sculptors together, and Jim Fletcher is pretty much his baby. He's been kind of overseeing it on almost a daily basis until
right.
We get through the launch. But it's been really exciting. You know, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, the complete opposite side of the coin is Afro Samurai. It's very slick. It's very stylized. It's got a very simplified deco because the animation has that kind of, you know, kind of muted color palette. But the designs are just awesome. I mean, again, you look at that and you go, holy moly, this is cool, you know. And the fun thing about Afro Samurai is not only do we have action figure rights for that particular property, but we're doing resin statues and busts and a lot of other things. So it's
do you have, I guess, the master license for that line?
I guess you would call it that. I know they have some other product license, but I think for sculptural, three-dimensional stuff, I think we're their primary licensee here in the States.
And you said, you mentioned that they were very stylized, and I want to back you up and say that they are incredibly stylized and very... they have that very urban feel to them, and
right.
Much like the Boondocks and some of the other upcoming, you know, the more urban-esque sort of licenses. And I think I want to say, you know, we talked about this, George, about how we would be kissing your ass. Well, here it comes. I think you've really, much like you have done in so many DC Direct lines, you really have your guys, your sculptors, where whatever room you've locked them in and aren't allowing them to get out of, they really have captured absolutely the feel of that artwork.
Oh, thank you very much. I know it's funny because Ashley Powell, who's our associate art director, was a big fan of the show, and she's been kind of running herd on this particular property. And, you know, we put the right team together, and they got it. You know, they got it right away. And the approvals have been going smoothly. We had one of the producers in for the show, and he was just drooling over the pieces. We, you know, had to kind of shoo him away. He was like, come on, people want to see this stuff. Can you move on? But it was great, because then we got into this whole conversation about packaging, and he definitely comes out of the urban vinyl scene. He definitely comes out of the sort of anime, manga kind of tradition of design and
right.
sensibilities that we were completely riffing on. So there I am drawing sketches, and we're kicking ideas back and forth and running around the showroom pulling pieces of paper from places. Oh, I like this color. What about this? You know, so it was a real organic process, and it was a lot of fun, because that, for me these days, you know, I spend probably too much of my time being a businessman, not as much of a creative guy. So when I have those opportunities to kind of roll up my sleeves and play, it's a lot of fun for me too. So,
is there anything coming up in DC Unlimited that you can talk about now, or just those two lines for right now?
Those are the two lines. We're basically going to launch both of those in the fall of 07 this year, with the idea that we're going to, you know, hopefully get a good mass partner or several mass partners for it. So it'll be in comic shop and specialty as well as that. We're actually courting a few other people. A little early to say anything, but if those two are polar opposites of one another, I think our third likely candidate is even more unexpected.
Wow.
And pulled a completely different resource. But when you see it, it's going to be one of those things, and I keep telling people we've got to lock it down, because it's the thing, kind of thing that once the idea is out in the world, somebody's going to do it.
Right.
And it's going to be huge. So I'm like, we got to get this done and get it done now. And so we had several meetings at this toy fair where we've really been able to kind of try to lock these things down and move ahead on them. I mean, it's interesting because for us, you know, Warcraft, and I mean, this DC and Luna thing is kind of transformative for us. For a long time, you know, we were spending, you know, our 10th anniversary will be in 2008. And for those first 3 or 4 years, you know, we had to get people to take us seriously. You know, we had to prove we could do it to ourselves as well as to others. You know, deliver consistently, deliver quality, make sure we had our distribution, our manufacturing, and our creative down pat, you know, sales and all the rest of it. And now it's really fun to be able to have these conversations with people, and they go, yeah, I dig your stuff. I've been watching it for a while. You know, it's very gratifying for me, and that's what I like about the trade shows, and I like about going to the conventions in the summer circuit too, is, you know, it just you sit in your office all day doing this stuff. It's nice to kind of touch base with people and hear, hey, I kind of like what you're doing.
You know, and that's true. You can always find George at the DC booth at all of the, you know, the kind of the summer circuit of conventions, and he's always there. He's very gregarious and very happy to answer all your questions. And you know, I got to say, George, that's more power to you again, because there are not a lot of guys who are out there on really what is the front line listening to what's being said and suggested about your product.
I appreciate that. You know, and I spend... Honestly, I allocate a lot of time every week just looking at the various message boards, both the ones on DCDirectOnline.com as well as some of the other major kind of action figure collector sites, because I want to know what people are thinking, what they like and what they don't like. And there's a lot that they don't like at times, and there's a lot that they do like. And it's fun for me because actually at some of the shows, I've got a pretty good visual memory, and I'll remember some of these guys' online names, and it just freaks them out. But like, yes, I do listen, and I remember what you said about me, so, you know... but it's fun, you know. It's. I mean, my favorite story was some guy had posted this story on our website about he was really looking forward to the Silver Age Batman and Robin 2-pack because his father, who was ill with cancer, you know, had read these comics to him as a kid, and he really wanted to be able to give this to his father before, you know, his time came. And so I saw that, and I very honestly basically just sent the guy the figures. You know, we sent them early prototypes before the figures were even released.
Wow.
Not that I was looking for press or anything else, but it just the story touched me, and it really meant a lot to me that this guy had this, you know, heartfelt, you know, expression of how much these things meant to him and his family and his own kind of personal story. And
George Brewer, production with a heart.
Yeah, well, it's funny because 2 years later, this guy drove like 18 hours to come to San Diego just to come up and shake my hand and have a picture with me because the figures got there like a week before his father passed, and you know. He says, oh, I just want to shake your hand, tell you how much I appreciate what you did, and take a picture so my family can see you, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, holy moly, you know, this is great. You know, I'm not just doing this thing and getting a paycheck, but, you know, I'm doing stuff that means something to people. You know, I mean, these characters mean a lot to me personally, and to be able to kind of share that experience with other people makes my job really meaningful, you know.
Well, let's actually talk about your baby a little, shall we, George? DC Direct, The figures of the DC Universe that you've been producing, as you said, for coming up on 10 years now. I mean, what can we possibly say to let you know how great I think a job that you're doing with these pieces?
Well, you know, I appreciate that. It's funny because, you know, when you spend a lot of time on the internet, you hear a lot of the bad too, you know.
We know what you're hearing too. We know what you're hearing. Hearing things like there's only what, 6 points of articulation and other lines, which I won't mention, have 60 points of articulation.
It's a different set of challenges, you know, and I think part of this is funny. I can't remember who said this to me recently, but for a lot of these guys, they think that every, you know, kind of solicitation announcement is the last figure we're ever going to do. And so they didn't get my favorite one this month, so I'm never going to get it, you know, and they just, you know, it just takes time. And in 08, which is our 10th anniversary, I'm kind of cooking up, which we can talk about offline sometime, a whole kind of anniversary celebration, kind of really cool thing for the fans, and also a piece of it for the retailers, too, that I think the people are going to really dig. And, you know, because we're well into 08 right now in our planning and production.
Wow.
And we've gotten some action figure lines that we're kind of planning that is going to really tap into that core, hardcore, classic comic collector, action figure collector kind of thing. So, you know, it's a nice balance. But, you know, they really dug the Marvel family figures, or the, I should say, the Shazam family figures.
Right.
That we showed. They really
don't want to get those two lines crossed, George.
That's right. I've got to be careful. But, yeah, I'm a purist. He's Captain Marvel to me, and he always will be. But anyway, you know, the fans really dug that. And I have to tell you, I fought really hard to keep Hoppy in the line. But I knew that was the thing that would be really cool, you know, and unexpected.
Right.
Who would have thought, you know? And I want to do more of that. It's an interesting business. Yes, I have a lot of, you know, influence and say over what we and how we do things. But, you know, there's other people. There's business people. There's people running P&Ls. There's people looking at sales figures. You know, it's a balancing act. You know, so you have to kind of go through those things. And it's hard because you don't, you know, in a solicitation, you know, you don't always have the opportunity to kind of get your message out there.
I think one of the things fans forget, George, is that, you know, if you look at the figures that you were producing 5 years ago, you know, then, you know, how much you've actually progressed. You know, even on the articulation front, I remember when there weren't all that many points of articulation, that's gone up. The sculpts are so much better. The quality's gone up. You know, there's always going to be areas where any company can improve. But, you know, if you look at where you started to where you are now, it's a, you know, light years apart.
Well, it's true. And, you know, and sometimes, honestly, we screw up, you know. And I've said this in a couple of interviews, the Crisis on Infinite Earth Batman, he's too big. I know he's too big. People deserve to be pissed about that because I'm not. I'm pissed about it too. You know, it was a screw up. You know, and it's going to happen sometimes. You know, we have 200 plus product in development at any given time. You know, there's going to be things that happen.
Yeah, but for all of your you know, perhaps mishaps, it needs to be said that you also have done what I consider you've created a lot of innovation. You were the first guys, I think Adrian will back me up. You were the first guys to at least try resealable packaging.
Yeah,
that's right. We created the 6-inch action figure scale. We were the first ones to do it. People forget that. Yeah. That 6.5-inch standard male figure that is sort of the standard of the industry today, we were the first ones to do it.
Yeah, and DC Direct have done superposable figures before. I remember that Superman that you did. I mean, that was fantastic.
Right. Yeah, and you know, that may be a place we go back to. It's just, what we found, you know, because we're doing a mix of sort of comic story stuff and kind of more generic stuff. And in the beginning, we were doing more generic stuff because we were kind of gaining our footing. And we found kind of a niche for ourselves in taking specific artist styles and specific storylines and bringing those into plastic. And it's kind of exciting because, honestly, you know what? Superman and Batman sell, despite what anybody says.
Right.
You know, our first consumer is the retailer. If we can't get the retailer to buy it, it doesn't matter who else wants to buy it after that. You know what I mean? They have to support it. And they want Superman and Batman, and they order Superman and Batman heavier than anything else. So my sort of approach to that, rather than do these kind of variants that are meaningless, is to really do different artistic styles, because to me that's a variation that is meaningful. You can look at any 10 or 15 Batmans or Supermans that we've done, but they all look different because they are different and they all feel authentic.
Yeah, and really the ability that you guys have to recreate those artistic styles stands out so much. It really brings new definition to the characters, like you said. It really is kind of a variant without doing a variant, and it's great. Right. We can really appreciate that as a collector and as a fan of the character.
Right, I appreciate that. You know, and it's funny because I read all my mail and I look at the, you know, the Ask DC Direct online, and that's one of the reasons why I like to go to shows, is because I like to hear, okay, what haven't we done that you'd like to see? You know, I mean, yes, I know you want Ma Hunkle. Yes, I know you want Blue Devil. I'll get to it.
Uh-huh.
What stories are out there that we haven't done? What artistic interpretations that we haven't done are there?
Hey, George, you know, Mattel has beat you to the punch on the Blue Devil thing.
Yeah, well, they got the animated style. They haven't done the 6-inch yet, so, you know.
Are you telling our listeners something right now, George? Are you trying to leak some information?
If I were a betting man, I think it's a very good opportunity that sometime in the near future, well, near future, and within the end of 08, there'll be a Blue Devil figure.
And will he be the first appearance classic Blue Devil, or will he be the new more hunky style?
If I were going to do Blue Devil, he would be classic.
And going on, will he have a Kid Devil PVC with him?
You know, it's not a bad idea. It depends. He's a big guy, so I'll have to see how he swings. Well, you know, right. That's a possibility.
That would be awesome, George.
Yes, it would be loads of family fun, as I like to say around the office.
And let's past action figures for a second, into more of the DC Direct product line that isn't action figures. You really are coming, again, to the forefront. I'm trying not to explode your head with all of these compliments, George. You really are coming, again, to the forefront of what's going on in the collectibles industry with your DC Direct stuff. And you're now doing quarter-scale figures. You're now doing lines of statues. I have to tell you, one of my favorite lines out there from any company regarding statuary is the Batman black and white line.
It's one of my personal favorites as well. I mean, to me, aside from just the sort of artistic achievement of the line itself, which, you know, it was, you know, month after month trying to really represent those particular artists. And a lot of these guys are really hard to nail. Like, who would have thought Paul Pope would work?
Right.
But it does. It's a statue. It's amazing. You know, or what.
And Mike Mignola, which.
Yeah, with the painted shadows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which, when it was solicited, I can tell you from my experience that the discussions about it were, there's no way that he is going to be able to translate that drawing, that image, into three dimensions that work. And obviously you succeeded, as he's still not in my collection because I can't find one. So
the great thing about that, it's a good affordable price. It's a good scale for somebody who wants to build a collection.
And they look fantastic presented together.
And they just, you know, they sell out one after the other, which is really gratifying to us. And I think it's also, you know, it's a real testament to the strength of Batman as a visual icon. Because if you look at them, they're all very different one to the next, but they all feel authentic and they all feel like Batman. And it's just, it's a lot of fun for us just to see as we, because, you know, originally we started by pulling stuff out of the Batman black and white graphic novels. And then we kind of worked past that. We started commissioning new original pieces. So it's kind of fun for us to see what the different artists will do kind of, you know, each month after the next. And we've got plans to continue that line through 2008.
Excellent. And like I said before, also one of your more impressive pieces that you have coming out, we saw the Batman and Superman quarter, what we refer to as quarter scales.
Yeah, the quarter scale Batman, I think, is bar none, probably one of the best Batman pieces we've done. James Shoup, who's the sculptor on that, which I pretty much gave him free rein, you know, to kind of just run with this idea. You know, and what I've started doing, and again, this is no testament to anything, you know, any of my skill or wit or technique, but, you know, I've started cherry picking a couple of projects a year to work on just to kind of get my hand back into it.
Right.
Because, you know, I drift away into meetings and, you know, far too much, and it's not as much fun kibitzing from the side as it is actually getting into the meat of it and working through. And so he and I worked through on that particular project, and just the larger format gave us lots of opportunity to get lots of detail into it. You know, the wire and the cape and the metal batarang and the opening pouches and stuff. I mean, it's a cool Batman piece. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely is. And again, on and on, your what are they, 13, 14-inch multi-articulated figures that you've steadily been putting out?
Yeah, the one-sixth scale, basically.
One-sixth scale. We've seen more of those at Toy Fair as well. Again, some very artist-specific statues. I mean, there is a whole lot in the George Brewer DC Direct Hopper.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You know, it's funny when you get it all in the showroom and you walk in, you're like, man, we did a lot of stuff this year, you know.
That's how we feel when we walk in there.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun for other people who kind of work, you know, we're this small little corner of DC Comics, you know, and we drag people through and they're like, wow, this is some cool stuff, you know. And it's fun because you're hitting on all cylinders. You're doing fabrication one day for the, well, six scale, like the 13-inch clothes figures, you know, and you're worrying about whose likeness this particular person is, all the way over to some of our new stuff like the Amy Calmy Super Heroine statues, which is really something we were previewing. It's really an 08 initiative. But these are essentially anime interpretations of our classic superheroines and villains.
Right.
That kind of anime style. It's like good girl, plastic statue kind of thing. But it's a great looking thing. And, you know, we had people talking about animation and are we going to do publishing and, you know, what about T-shirts and... So it's very gratifying for us, you know, to be able to see the excitement that we have for what we do received with the equal amount of excitement on the other side.
And you will continue to receive that praise and excitement from this program as long as you keep your end up, George. We'll keep our end up.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, definitely be sure, you know, we'll have to talk after the New York show in a few weeks because we have a few surprises coming there.
Oh, everybody with their surprises at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. We have a few action figure lines, and we have a statue. Another one of the things that I've worked on that we kind of held back from Toy Fair in order to have it there that I think people are going to kind of dig. So it'll be fun.
Do you want to slip up now and tell us something you're not supposed to tell us before Comic-Con?
Let's see. Well, I can talk about the statue because it's done by Tony Cipriani. He's a great sculptor. And it's a two-figure statue featuring two classic superheroines who were known for teaming up back in the day. One of them, I will say, was created by Paul Levitz. The other one, you know, I'm feeding you here. I'm sure you'll guess.
Is it the Wonder Twins?
No.
Zan and Jaina? No.
But you saw we did the Super Friends Reactivated. We're releasing Super Friends as single-carded figures.
We did.
We're actually planning to extend Super Friends as single-carded line in 08. And I hope to... If all things go the way they're supposed to, get into some of those original characters from the show.
Excellent.
Which would be a lot of fun.
Wendy, Marvin, Wonder Dog.
Yeah, right. You've got the Super Twins, you've got Super Chief, you've got Black Vulcan, you've got, you know, there's a lot of characters to draw from there that were original to the show.
Right.
That we're trying to make it work so that we can actually put them in the line, as well as other characters we hadn't done, like Hawkman or Sinestro or Brainiac. You know, it's a very fertile playground for us to be in. And as a matter of fact, just the other day I was doing a DVD extra interview for the upcoming Super Friends season talking about the toys. So it was a lot of fun.
All right, so back to this statue. One of the characters created by Paul Levitz.
Yeah, it's basically going to be a Power Girl Huntress statue.
Wow.
Classic style statue. It is awesome. I mean, it is just a beautiful, beautiful piece. I think the fans are really kind of dig it because... You know, Huntress has got a very strong cult following. Power Girl's very popular today, and I think people are going to really love it. Tony really knocked it out of the park. So,
we actually named your Power Girl figure this year in our year-end review of 2006. We named it the top action figure of the year for sculpture. I think.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. And so, with that, George Brewer, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. We look forward to having you back maybe sometime after Toy Fair so we can discuss all of the secrets and surprises that you have in store for us there.
You mean Comic-Con?
What did I say?
You said Toy Fair.
Oh, it's still in my brain. I'm fried. I need a vacation from Toy Fair.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And the next time you come by the office, sneak around, and I'll show you a few other things I shouldn't.
Oh, you can bet your sweet bippy, Mr. Brewer, I'll be around.
All right, thank you very much. You boys have a good night.
All right, take care, sir.
All right, thank you.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow.
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Hey, this is Christine Hodge, Simone from Head of the Class, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back. Don't encourage him, Adrian, please.
I think he's going to explode.
We can only hope.
What?
Nothing.
Well, obviously, if we're playing the Flash Gordon music, there must be something to do with Flash Gordon in this segment.
I would say so.
We're going to talk now briefly. This is a brief overview. You and I, Matt, and our special guest, Adrian Faulkner from action-figure.com. Do not forget the dash, as he would say.
No, don't forget the dash.
And we want to give a brief overview of things that we loved at Toy Fair Valentine's Day episode.
We kind of took a highlighter and went over our experiences and things we saw and picked out a few things that we thought stood out.
And we want to distinguish this from our top 10, which will be absolutely the top 10 products that we saw at Toy Fair, which we're going to do next week.
Right, and I could tell you right off the bat that there are some things that are on that list that we won't discuss tonight, and probably some things we discuss tonight that won't be on that list.
That's
so
true, I can tell
will,
you that for
It will
sure.
differ.
However, opening our conversation this evening, and undoubtedly going to be on that list, and I would say probably somewhere in the top numbers, will be the Flash Gordon action figures.
Yeah, they were fantastic, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah. I mean, six, 7-inch figures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fairly well articulated. And they are by a company called Biff Bang Pow, which a relatively new company. I mean, over at Action Figure, we've been dealing with them a little bit in the past. But this is really the first time we've actually seen actual product from them. They've got Alex Ross involved, so you know, if you like Alex Ross art, you can kind of understand, you know, the level of quality that's gone into that product.
I'd like to summarize what Adrian said. They fucking ruled.
They did.
I mean, they
rule.
Really were just fantastic. The likenesses are dead on. Like Adrian said, the sculpting, the articulation was just bar none. I mean, for an upstart company.
For a first product. I mean, they were, wow. You know, out of this world.
And they were being talked about by everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just us. I mean, people who like talking about stuff and writing about stuff like action-figure.com or any of those guys. They were being talked about by other companies.
Well, every year, I mean, as you know, Kev, I mean, you've done a few toy fairs. Every year, behind the scenes, you know, when we go to the parties or we meet up with people, there's usually a lot of discussion. And, you know, I mean, I know in past years, the big topic of discussion was, you know, is Masters of the Universe really dead? And all things like that. You remember that
the
conversation, Matt? But, I mean, this year, the real conversation was, you know, that, you know, Toy Fair seemed a little bit flat. And, you know, what were the standout products? And everybody said Flash Gordon.
And not only did everybody say Flash Gordon, they said it first.
Yeah.
By and large, it was the first thing to come out of most people's mouths. And we talked to the guys over at Biff Bang Foom Bang.
Pow. Biff Bang Pow.
Biff Bang Pow. And they told us a few interesting facts about the line that they're going to do. And one of those facts is that they're going to open with two characters, Flash and Ming, both of which were on display there. Both of those figures will have exclusives, which they were nice enough to show us photographs of.
Right.
And also that the film will be released. And we should say this, the Flash Gordon figures, based on the film. The 1980-81 film,
right?
With Sam Jones, Max von Sydow.
I mean, they are. You know, I'm not entirely sure how all the licensing works out with Alex Ross in and
right.
and with the film, but you know, they looked like the characters from the film. They looked fantastic.
And the guys showed us a book
Holy
full
Jesus.
Of yeah. characters that they intend on doing, and there was. I mean, there had to be a dozen of them there
easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
And they all were like, wow, yeah, I've always wanted one of that. Wow, yeah, I've really wanted one of that. And, you know, for years and years and years, what, 30 years now? 20 years? 20 years? 27 years?
I think
it's
25 years last year.
I think last year was the 25th anniversary.
So over in the UK, we had like a deluxe DVD set.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
Yeah, well, you're getting one this,
apparently this summer. Apparently that was kind of the news there, is that they're going to re-release the film on DVD. It's going to have footage and extra things, and apparently
goodies.
That's going to come at some point this summer, presumably in conjunction with the figures. And also they have some plush, they have some bobbleheads.
The bobblehead you may have seen in the most recent issue
it's
of Toy Fair Magazine,
the current issue of Toy Fair Magazine, which has just hit the stands today. Issue 116, it's the April issue of Toy Fair, which I have to say, not a bad issue.
No, I enjoyed it, actually. I was reading it today.
New larger size as well.
I noticed.
Right. I don't understand the whole size issue, but okay. I merely focus on content.
Well, you know, when it comes to love, size can matter.
Okay.
Good
Adrian,
point.
Tying it in. Good. So that also from that company, we should say, because it's really more of a 1-2 punch than just Flash Gordon.
Right.
They also have and are going to produce the Big Lebowski 12-inch
wow.
action figures, which were tremendous.
Now, they had two figures on display, right? They had
the dude,
obviously, and they had John
the
Goodman's
one.
Character, whose name eludes me right now. Yeah, Roseanne's husband, exactly.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
But did they say, or because I don't remember if we got this far into conversation with them, is there going to be more from that other than those two? Are they planning on fleshing out some of the other characters?
I think I think that they said that they had intended on doing more than just the two. But that being said, they did show us two 12-inch, and then they also showed us the same two characters in a more stylized, what I consider more of a vinyl-inspired
look. Yeah, it was kind of like halfway between urban vinyl and some of the stylized stuff that Mez does.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody had shown me those figures and didn't tell me who was behind them, I would have thought they were Mez.
I would have said Mez, right.
Yeah.
And again, they have, it seems, a very good license and a good plan for doing more work with that film, The Big Lebowski.
Definitely.
So that's going to be exciting to see where they go.
What do we got next on the list? What's after?
I don't know. What did you think? What did you love?
I really liked the DC Unlimited showing. We just got done talking about those with Mr. Brewer from DC, and I think both the World of Warcraft line and the Afro Samurai stuff were outstanding. They looked really, really good, and I'm really excited that DC is taking some of its talent and using it on other licenses outside of the DC universe.
I think you are getting ever closer to playing that awful game, aren't you?
No, I'm holding out.
Level 60 Dwarf Hunter.
I'm holding out.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
I only have room in my life for one massive.
And it's dead.
And I'm holding out. Well, Galaxies is dead and with no hope of revival at this point. So the only thing that I can hold, well, actually two, because potentially Pirates of the Burning Seas still may have a place in my life, depending on what the finished product looks like when it comes out later this year, early next year. But hopefully in 2008, we actually do see the launch of the Firefly.
Take my love. My land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Serenity, MMORPG, which is still being worked on and still talk about, so we'll see.
Anything on that?
No, I won't add anything.
He knows something. He knows something about
both
of them.
No, I don't. No, not that
one.
He's
not saying.
I know a lot about a lot of MMOs, but...
No, not about
those
two?
The big problem is, with a lot of MMOs, is that when you've got something with a lot of core characters, it's how they integrate that. So, you know, Serenity, you're not going to be in an MMO, you're not going to be piloting Serenity, you're not going to be Mal or any of the main characters in there.
But
so.
From what I've read, and I don't want to turn this into a Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me.
Discussion, but from what I've read,
but he has.
But from what I've read,
obviously
they've actually.
You can hear the music.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. A nice touch, by the way. They're planning on doing it similar to Galaxies, where it'll have just enough, just a hint of what you love from the show as far as the characters are concerned. But it's really going to take place in the rich world that they've developed, that Joss Whedon has developed. That kind of space western.
So you might not fly Serenity per se, but you might have a Firefly class ship.
You might have a Firefly class ship, certainly.
See, the only thing that really worries me with a lot of MMOs is if you take things like Warcraft and the original Star Wars Galaxies that we all loved, they were all in development for at least 5 years.
Right.
And now, I mean, I'm sure that with advances they can produce them a lot quicker, but with a lot of the MMOs that have come out, mainly because World of Warcraft did so phenomenally well, they're pushing them out, and there's a real push to get them out to market very, very quickly. And in doing that, it doesn't have the depth that a lot of MMOs have.
Sure,
I would take a reskinned original Star Wars Galaxies for Serenity, like that.
Well, Star Wars
Galaxies, rest in peace.
I know. I have to say that I was very glad to see all of that at Toy Fair. Oh, wait, no.
wait, well, there were Star Wars figures based on a video game there.
There were, and actually, that's a very good transition you just did there.
You see, I'm learning.
Nice.
Right. Force Unleashed is a game coming for your better platforms, so 360 and PlayStation 3. And it will feature a whole new, obviously, Bevy. Cast of characters, which Hasbro is going to be making figures for. Now, to the best of my knowledge, based on what I saw, this film has to take place at some point right after Episode 3.
Have you not seen any of the test footage that they did?
We didn't.
No. Okay. Back at San Diego Comic-Con, in the Star Wars panel... They showed some. What they tried to do was create some test footage to kind of convey the type of game that they wanted to do. Although it wasn't the finished game, this was what they were gonna kind of use. And they showed like a Jedi-like character, and basically what you then did was like use force powers, but you like picked up the stormtrooper and threw it into boxes or threw it off a ledge. You picked up boxes and threw them at TIE fighters that were shooting at you as they were coming in, and things exploded. So it does look to be like it's a game where you're using force powers, but it's going to interact with the environment somehow. So. From that demo, I mean, everybody was like, oh, it's really exciting. So it should be a really good game.
And from the design of the figures, we can tell that the kind of progression from the prequels to the later films, 4, 5, and 6, Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi, you can tell the design transition is continuing, because two of the figures that they showed us at the Hasbro showroom were the Stormtrooper. Now, these weren't named, so I'm naming them now. The Stormtrooper and the Scout Trooper, which took another giant step from Episode 3 to becoming more like they were in Episodes 4, 5, and 6, which was very good. They also showed us a female Imperial officer, which I don't believe in that typical Imperial uniform that we see, which I don't think I've ever seen in a female Imperial officer.
I don't know. Wasn't the one in the books, though?
There may have been.
I think there was. Admiral Darla, something
she's
like that.
I'm sure your readers, your listeners can...
She's after, fill us in. After the fact, though, right? Timothy Zahn era?
Yeah, she was like, well, I think she worked for him or something. But it was in the Dark Saber trilogy by Kevin J. Anderson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the character's name, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm sure it was something like Darla or something like that.
They showed us one of those, a female. They also showed us something very interesting, a black Royal Guard.
Ooh.
With a weapon that is half a spear, a steel spear, and the top half is a saber.
Correct.
Now, I thought this was, a lot of people were like, wow, that's very unique. Now, I know for a fact that there's a character in one of the books, in the comics or something like that, that uses a weapon like this. So I'm very interested to see that
Is it Keir Karkonos?
Oh, Karkonos?
Karkonos.
I don't know. His weapon might be similar to that. I don't remember. I know the character you're talking about, but I'm not sure.
The weird thing is, I mean, like, you know, when everybody, you know, who's listening to this looks at all the Toy Fair coverage that's out there, they go, wow, I wish I could be there. But the scrum around those figures was so bad, I never got real chance to have a look at them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Missed some stuff.
Yeah, Paul took a look at the figures, but, you know, took the pictures, but I couldn't get near them.
Well, then you can go right over to... Action-figure.com and check out all the pictures. Yeah. The ones that we haven't stolen this podcast.
However, what I did see in Hasbro that I really, really liked was the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary figures.
That's true. They were pretty as well.
They were?
I mean, a lot of people find this unusual, but as a Brit, I absolutely love G.I. Joe. I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan.
Really? And I heard you were a big fan of Sigma 6.
I initially wasn't. I hated Sigma 6 because it wasn't 3 3/4 inch, but I was kind of won over. But I mean, as you know, I mean, when we came down to the studio earlier,
yes.
You know, I mean, go on the New Jersey Turnpike. What was the first thing that I mentioned? Well, I mentioned
that,
that
the New Jersey Turnpike was where they always battled the dreadnoughts.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you know. So, I mean, these new figures are fantastic because not only are they much better sculpts, but they're taking inspiration from Marvel Legends. And I don't know if you got a good look at them, but they've got double knee joints.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
They're starting to put Legends-type articulation into those figures.
Wow.
So
That is impressive.
Yeah, I am really, really looking forward to those figures.
Well, I want to hop back to Star Wars for just a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I loved, particularly in Star Wars, the fact that it seems to me that they are going to do at least one Ralph McQuarrie figure per line for the foreseeable future.
Until we're dead, apparently.
I guess.
Well, that's because they've done all the other characters at least four times.
But they keep coming up with these ones who are on film for 3 seconds. And I mean, it's great. I think it's great to flesh out the entire universe. But the Ralph McQuarrie figures, they released a few years ago, they released the Stormtrooper concept figure back in the Blue Card series. Now they have, they're going to re-release him on the new card.
Right.
And I think it's the same figure. I'm not exactly sure about that. It might be more articulated now. Then we have the concept Boba Fett.
Correct.
Which everyone has seen at this point and on this show. And then they have a few more that they've announced and actually had in the showroom there at Hasbro. They had Darth Vader.
Right.
From that very famous picture when he's fighting Luke with the gas mask on.
Chewie, right?
They had Chewbacca, right, who is immensely tall and silly looking with big eyes and pointed ears and no hair on his head, but a big beard, which was interesting. And then they, and I think they're planning a few more after that as well.
Well, I actually was very fond. I love the McQuarrie stuff, don't get me wrong, but I loved the holiday special Boba Fett figure.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
What an odd piece to be releasing, but...
Right, so
I mean,
for
it's one that hasn't been done of him.
But what Star Wars fan or Boba Fett fan hasn't got that holiday special somewhere on their computer or something?
I'm sure.
Well, for the uninitiated, Boba Fett's first appearance was actually in the holiday special.
Correct.
He appeared in an animated short, and he looked much different than the Boba Fett that we know today.
He looks similar in terms of sort of sculpt, but I mean, he's like chest armor was kind of yellow.
Yeah,
it was coloring issues, and he had some sort of spear weapon thing that he had. And
he rode like that dinosaur thing, didn't
right.
he?
Right, yeah, something like that. And so they are now going to produce that figure into their 3 3/4 line, which I'm sure Matt over at Atomic Comics with
Taters.
Two T's is all his panties are in a bunch right now, I'm
all
sure about that. All of them. All 18 pounds of them.
Well.
But that actually is very exciting.
What do we have next on that list?
I don't know. Adrian, what it stood out to you?
Well, one of the things that I was really interested in is Mezco. Because they've now got a horror license. Now, I know what your first thought's going to be. You've had NECA do horror figures. You've had McFarlane do horror figures. And yes, and they're great figures, and maybe you don't want to replace them. But the thing is with both NECA and with McFarlane is that they're not very articulated. You know, they tend to be pre-posed, and there are people that love that, and that's great.
Sure.
But what Mezco's going to do is they're going to start putting more articulation into them. So, you know, you're going to get like ball joint shoulders, you're going to get knees, you're going to get elbows, ball joint head, you know. So that's pretty good. And they're also going for some really weird, but in a good way, choices for some of the figures that they're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you right off the bat, Mez has already pleased me to a T by including a Jason in every one of the lines associated with this. As we all know, my horror love tends toward Friday the 13th, and in fact, there is a Friday the 13th Jason in the first line. I believe he's from episode 4.
Is it 4 or 6? I can't remember.
No, I think it was 4.
I think it's 4. It's the one where Corey Feldman chops him in the head, and he slides down the his brain on that. Yeah, that one was creepy, though.
Well, and then you've got Chop Top as well.
Chop Top,
right?
Was stood out to me. That was a really nice looking piece. Kind of creepy, but it's kind of why I liked it. Yeah.
And in addition to their six and a bit line that they're going to be doing, there's also they have some larger, more stylized pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I always love Mez's stylized pieces because I think that I love Urban Vinyl, but I think sometimes the art style is not very accessible.
Right.
Whereas the stylized stuff it's a bit fresh. So one of the things that Mezco's going to be doing is that they're going to be doing plush, but stylized plush. So you're going to have, you know, a plush body with, you know, vinyl or PVC or whatever it's going to be.
Hard head.
Yeah.
Hard head, hands and feet. And they're using an artist that doesn't tend to get a lot of publicity, really, called Pinkerton. Does some really great stuff for Mez and other people. And
did Pinkerton do that clown?
Yeah, Cadaver.
Cadaver. Clown?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you know, those I've spoken to a lot of people, and, you know, those plush figures look really, really good. So I'm looking forward to those as well.
And since we're on Mez, it would be foolish of us not to mention the Goonies figures that we were
Goonies.
Fortunate enough to see. They're great, and it's about time that someone picked up that license. It's about time that someone finally tackled those characters. And they're kind of a crossbreed of action figure. They kind of have a stylized feel to them, but not too much.
Yeah, they're very, very... I mean, I think for the most part, for most people, they're going to look exactly as they remember.
Right.
Just an odd kind of... Just a very slight touch of Mez about them.
Yeah, well, it's not that... It's
just
not
just
that
enough
like,
to make them unique, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that ultra-realism that you get from some of these other lines, that even you get from the horror line that he has. It has that... little bit of stylization that really just screams, you know, the Mez product name.
Yeah.
But they look great.
Yeah, what I really also liked was that, I mean, normally when people make figures, obviously they have to factor in the cost of plastic into making those things. So what you tend to find is scale tends to, you know, they tend to keep things, they tend to abuse scale sometimes.
Right.
And, I mean, those the kids were when I say small, I mean they, you know, they weren't oversized, and that's compared next to that sloth figure.
Wow!
I mean, he towered over them.
Right.
So I mean, I really like that.
Yeah, and it looks like they did most of the boy. It looks like they did the boys.
I'm trying to remember.
Well, there was Chunk, Mikey,
Data,
and
Corey Feldman.
And Corey, what was his name?
Mouth. And Sloth. Right. So that's going to be an exciting line. I actually pressed Mez a little bit if he was going to make a Kerry Green action figure. So finally my fantasies could come true.
And he said that it... if everything works out right, that he's going to continue to do all of them.
Right, the two girls, and the other boy,
And the Fratellis, right?
Which is ones that he really wanted to do.
I mean, that would be so cool.
And maybe he'll do a one-eyed Willy. That'd be nice, a little Willy figure.
Well, very chair. Apt on yeah. on the Valentine's issue.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, he's really making this work.
Go for it. Thank God for him tonight, because...
That's the first time anybody's ever said that, especially not on Valentine's night.
Let's talk about Atticus or Attacus or...
whatever you want to call them.
However it's pronounced in France.
Okay, that one of the things that they had was they had a...
No, it is not the one. It's not one of the things they had. It is the thing they had, and then they had those other things.
Let's try and create a picture here. Okay. Right? Okay, so think of your Star Wars collection.
Right.
You know, your 4-inch figures. Imagine if you had kind of like a section of the Death Star docking bay.
Okay.
So that you had the floor, you had like the side of the Falcon, including the ramp to go up, and the cockpit. And then you had that kind of the area where Darth Vader and, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi are having a lightsaber duel.
Right. And there's that kind of pit in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, that would be what? Probably about 1-2 meters?
Actual scale? Yeah. That would... Well, I don't know. What's a meter?
Well, what's a meter?
What's a meter? How many feet's in a meter?
We have the metric system.
Crazy metric
Well, it
system.
Must be about 4 or 5 feet, mustn't it?
Easy.
Yes, yeah? Easily.
And, I mean, they're doing this piece, and, I mean, it's all done in metal, and, I mean, you can even look around the other side, and you can see the inside of the Millennium
Yeah, actually,
Falcon.
if you're looking on your iPod right now or on your download, you're seeing pictures from this piece. What they've done is it's almost as if they've put the Millennium Falcon, an actual scaled Millennium Falcon, by the way, for Hasbro style figures, 3¾ figures, 4-inch figures. Absolutely the correct scale, absolutely down to the last detail rendered. If you can imagine a Falcon, would be humongous. They've actually, it looks like they put it on a bandsaw and just and just cut it. And the inside of the Falcon, when you approach it from the backside, the inside of the Falcon completely rendered all of the key areas.
Yeah, there's the hollow chest.
The hollow,
set.
Yeah. Right.
There's even the walkway going up into the cockpit.
Right, and the swivel chair, that one swivel chair.
The one that Han sits on, right. Yeah.
The cockpit fully rendered down to the individual control knobs. From the film, top of the cockpit removable so you can place your figures in there. Down the ramp onto the, again, fully and completely rendered Death Star innards.
There's only two words to describe it, which is fucking huge.
300 pounds.
300 pounds.
I think is what he said.
Ships in.
That's what it weighs. Yeah. What it costs for the folks in Britain.
Nobody listened to this except you and Matt are going, wow, only 300 pounds.
I'll take three.
300 pounds. I believe it's three separate pieces. The Falcon itself is one piece. The floor is a second piece. And then that throne room area is a third piece, I believe, was the three pieces that
he had. It's not really a throne room. It's more of that room.
Not the throne room. I'm sorry.
It's actually, again, three key places from Star Wars. It's the kind of computer wall that 3PO and R2 are standing in front of. And then it's kind of got that room or that hallway where Obi-Wan and Kenobi are having their fight. And then on the other side, they kind of have... again, a hallway where Han and Chewie are interacting there.
I mean, one of the important things also to point out with it is that it's not particularly designed to be for your Hasbro Star Wars collection.
No.
I mean, they do have metal figures.
Right,
that you
they
can
do their
in.
Own metal figures that complement and fill out the scene.
And look beautiful
just
as well.
So happen to be the same scale.
Right. Yeah,
I love it when people do that.
Just so do I.
So happens
and have,
to be
did
that
you,
way.
Did they show you photos of the piece that they're doing to follow that?
No, and you know, I looked for them online. I couldn't find them there either.
Okay, they are doing Dagobah. They're telling. They showed me pictures of it, and they said it's still going to take them a year before they're going to have it ready. I mean, these trees are about 4 foot tall. You have the cave that Luke went into. Right.
Again, they're going to do the very important areas in Dagobah. My understanding is they're going to have a fully rendered Yoda house. They're going to have the cave with the where the fake Vader encounter happened. And are they going to have, I couldn't get a direct answer about this, and I'm wondering if it's secret or not secret, whether they're going to have
an X-Wing.
There's the sunken X-Wing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, they will have that.
They will have that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just been sent off for approval, apparently.
Wow.
But, I mean, if anybody's thinking of saying, wow, I want both these sets, I mean, they kind of in the thousands of dollars price range.
It's not cheap. The Falcon set with all of your set pieces and is $3,200.
But I mean, for something that good,
yeah, you almost want to pay.
Yeah,
look, if you're a dedicated Star Wars fan, that becomes the corner piece. You know,
corner piece. It takes up the whole fucking house.
Yeah, but I mean that's the highlight of your collection.
I'll build a shelf out of the wall so that people can go on both sides.
Yeah,
a shelf.
Yeah,
would it hold it?
Yeah,
I mean 300 pounds.
A big heavy shelf with a support.
Heck,
under
if I
one
put
side?
That in my house, I'd probably have to reinforce the floor.
Well, that's because your country's sinking, so you live on an island. Hello.
Well, yeah.
So I agree. And actually, we want to throw this out to the fans that if you would like to contribute to getting one of these fine products for the studio here, you know, stop by and see us at any of our upcoming appearances. And we'll have a special donation area for that. We'd obviously like to get a hold of one of these. Look. We're not in it for ourselves. We want to get one of these things so that we can share the experience
with
you.
I want one for myself. Well, please then, send money.
You can go over to action-figure.com and advertise your business over there.
We have very attractive rates. They've all now suddenly gone up to pay for this thing.
Get their $3,200 package. Yeah.
It's known as the Millennium Falcon package.
The Millennium Falcon package. You can advertise for 3 years for $3,200.
No, 1 year, because next year's the swamp's coming
That's
out.
That's right. It's
a whole other bag.
But absolutely amazing. And then we really should try to move along and say that that wasn't the only thing that they had there.
No.
They had incredible Star Wars and actually a lot of European comic characters, sculptures in the 16-18 inch range.
Well, they do life size busts.
Yes,
I mean of these. You know, the wonderful thing is that you know, I like them because they're European. You know, my side of the pond. But there's a lot of great French comic characters that, you know, even I've never heard of in England. You know, I mean, you know, us and France is a bit like you guys in Canada. You know,
yeah.
But you know, they do all these great comic characters, and they have a real distinctive art style. Although it's not France, I mean, like Asterisk,
right?
You know, that was from Belgium. That has and Tintin. You know,
right.
They have very different art styles in terms of comics to a lot of American comics.
It's almost kind of like sort of saying they're kind of like the European sort of sideshow.
Kind
you know?
Of.
Yeah, I mean, they're producing figures. At least in quality-wise, comparable quality-wise to that. I mean, I saw a pair of stormtroopers there that blew my tits off.
The sand person was the one for me because I actually looked at a picture of it. They were showing me the portfolio.
Right.
I was going, wow, you're using fabrics. And they went, no, that's sculpted. I was like, wow.
Right. And again, they have a bevy of European comics characters, French and so forth. And it's just stuff that we've never seen before. So, of course, when we walk by the booth, you're taken in by the Falcon, but you stay for the breasts.
That's the one thing you know about the French. They're not frightened of showing a pair of breasts. There was a lot of nippleage.
There was a lot of everything.
And
there.
Did you notice also that, you know, to not offend everybody, they kind of stuck like mini bits of post-it notes over the offending nipples?
Yes. Every time I turned around, there was a post-it over a nipple or a poster over a cooch. So, you know, it was one or the other.
Well, that's great. I mean, they're definitely an up and coming company. If they're going to start distributing more in the U.S., I think there's going to be a lot more great product out there.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll help sort of promote some of the comics, the French comics, to a new audience.
And Adrian brought us over. We're going to transition into our next thing.
Segue.
Adrian brought to our attention the wonderful work. The wonderful 3¾ work being done by, of all people, the conglomerate Master Replicas,
the
Corgi,
Menage a Trois, as we called it last week,
Inc. Company, and we were able to see the figures coming from Golden Compass, and we were able to see the 3¾ figures that either Adrian or Matt from Atomic with two T's Comics is going to be sending us from Harry Potter.
Yeah. I mean, the Golden Compass. What did you think of them?
They were absolutely as you described them.
Yeah, I mean
they were for 3¾. It's incredible.
They had the Golden Compass figures actually on display. They had the Harry Potter figures, although no photography could be shown.
Stashed away.
So we kidnapped our friend Travis. Yeah, who works over there.
Pulled him into the room eventually.
And you know that Dumbledore that was on display there, that Dumbledore figure. That was, I know, because that was the production sample I played with at the UK Toy Fair.
Wow. And they are incredible.
They were
the
beautiful. The play sets really stood out to me because they were just awesome. They looked really
great.
And
they were really fun. Did you see with the wand, with what you can do is they come with a wand and it has a magnet in the end.
Oh, yeah.
And that you can use it to trigger action features within the play set, so.
Yep, so you can be counting on sending us those.
Yeah. Well, you can get the Golden Compass ones over here at the end of the year.
Right,
so
they're going
to
release those.
You won't have to buy those. But the Harry Potter ones, you'll have to get me to get for you. However, I'm going to need you to get something for me in return, Kev.
Would that be the Harry Potter NECA figure?
Yes, which are equally as good. Did you see that Snape?
Wow.
Perfect sculpt.
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I think what really took my breath away, and as I'm going through them, each piece looked better than the next.
Yeah.
But when I got to that diorama, the Harry and Voldemort with the angel.
Yeah, with the grave.
The grave.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was an awesome piece.
Yeah.
But I was a little confused about that. Is the grave scene going to come by itself without any figures? And then, because he said that the Harry and the Voldemort were separate pieces, I thought he said, and the bases
and they lock
that
in.
Come with the figures lock in. So does the grave just come as
a box set?
The grave with no figures in it then?
I think so.
Okay. I was a little unsure, but even still, because I want all of them anyway.
Right.
Wow, did they look good.
They had the first two series, and they were production too, at least the first series was.
The first series is based on kind of the last film, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the one that's already out, so... there was kind of Harry in his, it was like wearing a Quidditch t-shirt. Wasn't
right.
He?
It was a
with
Triwizard,
the shaggy hair.
Triwizard tournament. Right.
Yeah, and there was a Death Eater.
Two
and
Death
there
Eaters.
Was, and Dementors.
A Dementor, yeah.
Two Death Eaters and one Dementor. Yeah. Right? Is that what it was?
I think so.
And then they showed us also from Order of the Phoenix, Harry, Ron, Hermione, and wasn't there... also Sirius Black?
Yes, Sirius Black.
We saw Sirius
he was
Black.
Kind and of in like 60s clothing, wasn't he? He was...
And Snape.
And there was Snape and Hagrid, which I think is Series 2.
Right.
So
And they seemed to indicate to me that Hagrid was going to be a box set.
Probably because of his size.
He's going to be like 12 to 18 inch in scale with these other figures. So chances are he probably
it's
will.
It's going to be like Sweetums from the Muppet line.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Oh, your dearly departed Muppet.
How I mourn the Muppets.
I mourn that line, too. It's one of my favorite lines ever. Yeah.
I saw Mike Horn popping about.
I did. floating around the floor.
It was good to see him. For people who don't know, Mike Horn used to be the president of Palisades.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice guy. I mean, Palisades, over at actionfigure.com, we actionfigure.com. Don't forget the dash.
That should be your catchphrase.
I mean, we always considered like Palisades were like family to us.
Mattel.
Yeah.
Well, there was some
Battle
nice
League.
Super Friends.
The Super Friends.
Okay.
So with the demise of Marvel's license being done by Toy Biz, we lose the Spider-Man and Friends figures that we know and love. They are replaced by awful little PVC sort of versions by Hasbro.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, listening to the fans and mourning the loss of that line, Mattel steps up with a DC line, which could easily be integrated with your Spider-Man and Friends figures. And they're calling it Super Friends.
Yeah, DC Super Friends. I mean, it's really taking what they've already done with the kind of rescue heroes, which, if you like, was where some of where the inspiration for Spider-Man and Friends came from.
Oh, completely.
So it's kind of gone full circle.
Completely.
I mean, I've heard that kind of one of the ex-Hasbro guys, one of the guys from Hasbro, was gone to Mattel.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's where some of these ideas have sort of come from. But, good. I mean, they look really good. I mean, you know, in a similar way to how we all liked... I mean, we didn't like all the Spider-Man and Friends figures. Some of them were a bit silly. But it's
mostly it was the Spider-Mans that we thought were silly. Yeah. Like Karate Spider-Man and Deep Sea Spider-Man.
But what's very good with what Mattel is doing... and please don't screw this up, Mattel, by not doing this.
Well, right out of the gate, at least, it looks like they're going to get it right.
Yeah, they're doing the different characters. They're not just doing, you know, Scuba Batman and things like that.
And the list is Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, The Flash, Aquaman, and the big villain, first time out, Lex Luthor.
And did you see the Batmobile?
Yes.
I mean, that was fantastic. It's really nice, stylized.
Batmobile seats two figures, has a lot of lights and play features to it.
Yep, and it has wings that come out.
Turns into the Bat Jet. Yeah. So you get two vehicles in one. That's playability.
It is playability.
They like that over there.
Two thumbs up?
Not nearly as much as Bandai, but I mean, Bandai, if your toy doesn't do 85 things, then it's really not a good toy.
Yeah, if your toy doesn't also make a cake.
that's almost where they're at this point. You can actually...
With new cake-making action feature.
You can actually take these figures and then make it into this figure. And if you take your other figures and make these other figure and then take those two figures, you can make the super figure.
Take these 82 Power Rangers
it's a
figures,
South Park
you can
routine.
Get a condominium
did you go
that
and
you
see,
can rent for the summer.
Did you go and see Bandai this year?
Yeah,
yes. We did.
Yeah, well, when they sat down and they gave you that whole presentation, mm-hmm. didn't you feel that you kind of needed a flow chart to kind of go, right, what figures go into making this?
I really kind of zoned out that part and focused on Ben 10, which is kind of a really great license, and I really like this stuff. But, more or less, I really like the stuff that they're doing. Like,
I mean, whilst Power Rangers doesn't appeal to me, the fact that they've managed to keep that line going...
For 15 years.
Yeah.
And they're really, really pushing for it to get into the Toy Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They got a whole campaign.
Yeah,
they've got a whole campaign going.
But, you know...
Look, they really should get in the Hall of Fame simply for surviving 15 years.
Sure.
Yeah. What toy line lasts 15 years now?
No.
I mean, most toy lines last about four series.
Star Wars.
Yeah, but isn't Star Wars already... Didn't they put George Lucas in the Hall of Fame?
I'm sure. I think they did it this time around,
They invited him, put him in the cupboard, locked the door.
Locked the door, and that's it.
Welcome, George. There's all these toy inventors in there going, hello, hello.
Well, as exciting as Super Friends was, the other exciting feature was not the animated line, although there was some surprises in there, like Blue Devil.
Right.
Which made us all very giggly.
Right.
And it was not the 6-inch line, which continues to focus on sort of Batman and Superman, and kind of that's it. And what it was their new... their fighting game called Battle League.
Yeah.
Battle League, yes.
And this, for those of you who don't know, features kind of 2.5-3 inch figures who are meant to fight each other on tabletops.
Think of tactics.
Star Wars tactics.
It's developed by an ex-tactics guy.
Oh, there you go.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, there's going to be problems there.
They may well be, from what I was hearing from Hasbro.
Hasbro is doing a Transformers one also. Is that a tactics?
A tactics. I mean, the idea with the tactics is that if you've got, a G.I. Joe or Marvel or Transformers,
they can all mix in together.
Right. All interplayable.
And Marvel, I guess Marvel did one also, but their pieces were articulated, right? Didn't they have a little fighting game with articulated?
Marvel's been licensed in different ways. There's probably about 500 different games out there.
But there was the one that had the, like, Marvel Legends figures merely shrunk down.
Oh, Showdown, you're thinking.
Showdown, that's what I'm thinking. So this is Mattel Battle League, kind of a DC version of all of these games put together. Mm-hmm.
But
featuring absolutely incredible sculpts.
Yeah, they're by the Four Horsemen.
Yep.
Yep.
And they were incredible and really, really character-centric. All of the action and all of the kind of weaponry and so on and so forth, very, very, very character-centric. Yeah. So, for example, my particular love, obviously, for those of you who are listening for the first time, I am a Joker fanatic. And they had three different Jokers and two Harley Quinns on display. And I'll just tell you very quickly, Harley Quinn came with her big usual cannon that has the giant boxing glove in it.
Right.
So that was her weapon. And this is all to scale with each other. Yeah. It's not like they don't have like one super huge arm to fire something out of.
Yeah, that was the point I was
going
to make. They're not deformed like the tactics are.
Harley Quinn number two had a gun that shoots pies.
Right.
Right? I don't know if you... Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one. I saw the Batmobile.
She has one that shoots pies. Then the Joker. One Joker had, looks like a little present, and the door flips open and a boxing glove comes out of it. The second one was some sort of cannon that was shooting a card out of it, like face forward, and had like a rocket, looked like a rocket card or something. And then there was a third one that looked like a giant Joker mouth, and then the tongue shot out of it. So, I mean, these are very, very character-centric things, as opposed to some, like we were saying earlier, some giant weapon that no one's ever heard of, forced onto a giant misshapen arm like other games like this have done.
It's sad to say that as a game, I don't think that it's going to catch on and go very far. I just don't get that feel from it.
I think that people who like a tactics will probably think that it's, something to the new level, because whereas with the tactics you kind of hold them down and move them forward and you have that the moves click round, this one you kind of press a button and it does it automatically. Now, I have worries that, if you're on different surfaces, either you're going to lose traction or, it's not going to move so far. But, I think that it's very similar to a tactics in a lot of ways. So I think a lot of a tactics fans may pick it up, I think.
They may, but how successful has a tactics been? It hasn't been a huge success. It's kind of a
moderate, I don't know. If you ask Matt, he raves about it all the time.
That's what I mean. I mean, while a tactics certainly was interesting when it came out, I don't think it was huge. And this definitely, I think, gamers and DC fans are definitely going to give it a try, play for it a little
bit.
But I think that
fans of great sculpting are just going to
chop
off the bases.
Yeah. I mean, not even chop them off. I mean, they're fine little bases, to be honest.
As little mini display pieces, like depending on, like if you're decorating your desk or something like that, or something where you're going to be a little bit closer to the product and it's not on a huge display out, I think that's where the strength of those figures is really going to lie.
I think in the end, though, it's going to depend on the game. I think people will pick up one of the starter sets. If the game plays then it may take off. If it doesn't play well,
then it's going to die. But we'll see. What else? Do we have anything else on that list?
Is that all the things that really just jumped out?
Well,
have we
got time to go through anymore?
I think you're right. This is going to be the epic Valentine's Day massacre episode for people trying to download it.
Yeah.
By the time that it's finally downloaded from iTunes, it may be next Valentine's
Day. That's right. Yeah. True. Well, then let's wrap up this segment by saying that there were a lot of things to love about Toy Fair.
Shiny.
And there were a lot of things not to love about Toy Fair.
True.
We're going to talk about some of those things next week.
Yes.
In conjunction with our top 10 products that we saw from Toy Fair. Now, this spans the entire Toy Fair. There's going to be some things on here that may seem a little odd to you, but They were incredible and when we saw them.
I think we're going to approach this as Kev's going to come up with a list. I'll come up with a list. And then,
and then we'll do my list.
We'll do a merged list. We'll do a merged list.
Which will consist of 9 things from Kevin and 1 from you.
And I suspect that we'll actually share a lot of things on that.
Yeah,
list.
We by and large, we agreed mostly on a lot of the things that we liked.
I tell you, one of the most exciting things I saw was I was at, I think it was at Corgi, and I turned round, and who did I see?
Uh-oh.
But Twilight Turtle.
Well, now, I don't want to give too
much away. I nearly rushed
up
to them and said, oh, Twilight Turtle, but I thought I might scare somebody.
It's like meeting a celebrity, really.
Yeah. We really shouldn't tease this except to say that now we're gonna be talking about this on one of the upcoming shows. I'm only going to say it. I'm going to close with this. Here's how we're closing the segment. Twilight Turtle version 2.0.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do. And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 46, Valentine's Day.
Love is in the air. Do-do-do-do. I can't remember the rest of the words.
What did we talk about today in the love episode?
Well, there was not much love in the news portion of tonight's show.
That's true. I did not love the news.
So let's go through it quickly. Galactus, not actually in the film.
Sucks.
Wolfman movie has a director. Mark Romanek from One Hour Photo. So,
don't know. Still kind of.
Yeah, it's the whole Benicio del Toro thing that's kind of. Yeah, that's.
You might take it on a date, but you know, you might not go for a second date.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Toy Story 3 being penned by the gentleman who did Little Miss Sunshine. Frog Princess is the next 2D Disney piece, and then a live-action Sorcerer's Apprentice. Unfortunately, potentially starring Nicolas Cage.
They are doing 2D, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Actually, they are revitalizing their 2D studio. I think they're going to stick with Pixar to handle the 3D CGI. And then they're going to be looking to do some new, fresh 2D stuff for theater, for theatrical release that isn't going to be, you know,
the
Cinderella 87. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Ugh.
Jaws 5 going direct to DVD along with Deep Blue Sea number 2. Ew. And Spies Like Us remake. Well, also,
the only hope there is that, you know, if they can actually convince Roy Scheider to do it, that would be interesting.
Well, maybe. And Metal Gear Solid movie based on the popular video game franchise.
Unless,
love it or hate it.
Unless you're Mr. Fantastic.
Exactly. So you can look forward to that in the future in some capacity.
And then we went right from the news to our fantastic interview.
Lovely
with
even.
George Brewer from DC Direct, DC Unlimited. He's the head honcho over there.
He is.
And we talked about a variety of topics.
We did.
Covering all of their lines coming out, their products, their brand new DC Unlimited lines where they're going to actually start doing licenses outside of the DC universe and putting them out. And the first two are really just the 1-2 punch out of the gate.
Well, he also told us about a few upcoming properties that weren't announced at Toy Fair.
Oh, that's right, which we will not repeat here. That's right, you'll just have to listen to the entire episode to figure it out.
So those people who skip to the end think, I'll miss all the crap. I'll just go to the end and just get the summary. They're going to have to rewind now.
That's right.
Exactly. Ha-ha. Wow, we all did that at the same time. It's pretty funny.
Frightening.
George definitely enthusiastic behind all of the product that they produce over there, and rightfully so, you know. And I think an important thing to mention is that he really is in touch with the fans of the product and the collectors, and it shows.
And so many innovations done by DC Direct. We touched on a few of them, but again, he's continuing to reinvent and to create new and exciting ways to present his products, and I think he should be applauded for those.
Yeah,
efforts.
A genuinely nice guy, and you know, working with the toy industry, that you know, you get all types of people, but more than me. But genuinely nice guy, George Brewer.
And then we sashayed into our love segment. What did we love at Toy Fair? And we discussed products from pillar to post, a few of which included Flash Gordon and the Big Lebowski from Fing Fang Foom.
No.
Biff Bang Pow.
Biff Bang Pow.
Shawaddy Waddy, something or other. I don't know.
Right. We talked about the fantastic work that continues to be done by the Mezco Company.
Correct.
Including their pickup of a horror line. Sorry, Randy. And the brand new Goonies action figures that hopefully we're going to be seeing from them.
We then talked about Attackus and the beautiful work that they do over there, especially on that Millennium Falcon piece, the 300-pound monstrosity that is just awesome. Every detail is beautifully done. The figures that they are putting out in the Star Wars line are beautifully done, and what a great little company out of France.
Yeah, and is it true next week you're going to do a telethon to try and raise enough money to buy one?
You laugh. We will hopefully have a live XM show one day soon.
Ding,
so
ding, ding, ding.
Are you going to have celebrities answering the phones and everything?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, man.
Yes, the likes of which I cannot name at this time. However, they will. There'll be something. Much to the surprise and delight of Adrian Faulkner, there's a lot to be said about 3 3/4 inch.
Yeah, I mean, there was the G.I. Joe line, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. And then there is the double punch of the Golden Compass, which will be out everywhere. And I'm pleased to say that you guys finally got a chance to see the European Harry Potter line.
I just can't begin to tell you how much money Matt is going to have to send you for both of us to get those.
Well, we're going to want stuff back in return because, as you know, with the
tit for tat.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, that's right. We work that way.
We
that's
want
fine.
Plenty of tit.
You know that.
I want some tat.
That NECA stuff is rather expensive. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll have to negotiate, I think.
Right. Exactly. Negotiate.
And speaking of the NECA stuff, we did talk about the NECA Harry Potter line, which is also some beautiful, beautiful work. The deluxe sets, series one of the line, great stuff that's coming from them as far as the Harry Potter license goes.
That's right. Snape.
Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic.
Perfect sculpt.
And that in no way transitioned us into our discussion of the Super Friends coming from Mattel and how they are going to pick up where, sadly, the Spider-Man and Friends line got left by Hasbro with whatever that company was that was doing those.
And speaking of Hasbro, we also talked about the Force Unleashed Star Wars figures coming out based on the new video game that'll be out later this year for the next generation consoles.
As well as the Ralph McQuarrie designed figures that seem like they're going to be peppered in as we go along through
and that
waves.
Boba Fett, that holiday special Boba Fett.
Oh, that's true.
Don't forget that Boba Fett.
Don't forget that.
Matt won't forgive you otherwise.
I know. He's a fanatic, that guy. I want to take this time to thank Adrian Faulkner from action-figure.com.
Yes.
Where we don't forget the dash.
Right.
That's the catch line.
That's on you.
Don't forget the dash. For coming in for the last two episodes and really, really providing us with a beautiful third mic. And
yes.
we and myself particularly am going to miss you for the next 3 months until we see you again.
When you turn up in London.
That's right.
Knock on the door. Hi, everybody.
That's right. Live from London.
Hello, London. You should do it from Swindon.
There you go.
We should do it from Swindon. It'd be funny. But we're going to see you for San Diego.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming back over for San Diego.
So we'll have a lot to talk about and eat then.
Yeah. Yes. Especially the eat.
Yes. Yeah. We have to go to Dick's.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully I can make it to San Diego this year.
Oh, you've got to come to San Diego this year.
Sure. Look at him.
Yeah, he's wasting away. He needs to go to Dick.
That's
He needs some dicks.
Oh, wait.
That's true.
Whoa. This is the Valentine's Day episode, but it's not that kind of holiday.
Hubba hubba.
But seriously, guys, thanks for having me. I've really, really enjoyed myself.
It was our pleasure.
Hopefully I haven't ruined your podcast.
No. I look forward to when you can do it again.
Your listenership turning off, going, he's speaking funny.
And actually, is it next week or the week after when we will have... a counterpoint position from your country in the form of Matt from Automatic Comics with two T's. Yeah. He'll be in studio with us for one show.
But he can't do impressions of House.
That's right. Whatever will we do without the House impressions?
Yeah.
Now, is there a couple of things that you want to have us say to him when he's here?
Well, I think anybody who runs into him, if you're going to New York Comic Con and you see a small, dumpy, fat guy... with a red Mohican.
With a red Mohawk.
He's so going to get me back after saying this now. Can you go up to him and you have to say... What you have to do is you have to say taters. And when you say the you have to kind of paralyze one side of your mouth. And
Like a
pirate, yeah. Yeah, say...
Taters.
Taters. And call him a hobbit as well. So please make his life hell. It will be very, very funny.
You know he listens to this show.
Thank God he lives an hour and a half from me.
And that'll wrap up this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Join us next week for episode 47.
Encounters.
Why encounters?
Because we had some good encounters at Toy Fair that we need to discuss and flesh out next week.
Oh, wow. I don't know if... maybe encounters. Maybe
episode 47. Oh shit!
Yeah, episode 47. All right, Adrian's gone. Yeah, exactly. We can now talk about that other situation. It'll be one of those.
And on that note, we cue the music.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Because I was afraid to speak while I was just a lad. My father gave me nails a tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word to say, create the nose.
The biggest word you ever heard, and this is how it goes. Oh, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. He traveled all around the world and everywhere he went, he'd use his word and all would say, there goes a clever gent.
When Dukes and Martha Rogers pass a time of day with me, I say me special word and move me off me off to tea.
Woo! Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But that's going a bit too far, don't you think? So when the cat has got your tongue, there's no need for dismay. Just summon up this word and then you've got a lot to say. But better use it carefully or it could change your life.
For example?
Yes?
One night I said it to me girl, and now me girl's me wife. Oh, and a lovely thing she is too.
She's
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.